Markets were calm last week. They were so calm and high. And then a presidential tweet. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. U.S. stocks futures are plunging this morning. Over the weekend, the president threatened to ramp up tariffs on China. This as U.S. and Chinese negotiators are trying to finish up talks on a trade deal. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here following this. Nancy, what is going on?
Well, yesterday, President Trump sent out a pair of tweets threatening to raise some existing tariffs from 10 to 25% starting Friday. The president is also threatening to put 25% tariffs on almost everything else we buy from China. It's not clear if this is just a negotiating tactic. And before these tweets, there were hopes that a deal could be reached this week.
And what would the sticking points be that the president's upset about?
Well, he says the talks are going too slowly. The big issues here appear to be over major structural changes that the U.S. wants China to make. For example, wanting China to stop forcing U.S. companies doing business there to share technology. In a briefing last week, officials at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said Beijing doesn't want to make commitments on things like cyber theft and the subsidies it gives Chinese tech companies.
President Trump also repeated a false claim about the economics of tariffs. What is actually happening there?
Well, the president always says that China pays the tariffs, but that's just not true. They're paid by U.S. importers, and two recent studies showed these costs are getting passed on to American consumers. So far, U.S. tariffs have been on more industrial products, but this potential expansion would hit everything we buy from China, including consumer goods. The American Apparel and Footwear Association estimates the new 25% tariff would raise the cost of clothes and shoes for a family of four by $500 a year.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The Shanghai Composite in China closed down 5.6% this morning. The Shenzhen Index is down 7.6%. Here, the Dow and S&P and NASDAQ futures are all down 2%, with the Dow future down 486 points. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.48%. Digital cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, there are thousands of them. Most you've probably never heard of. The IMF and the World Bank are launching one. JP Morgan has one. And now, Facebook is working on one too, according to the Wall Street Journal. Facebook is obviously late to the party here, but it could still make quite the entrance. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
The point of a digital currency like Bitcoin is that it's decentralized and not controlled by any one entity. Rumi Morales at the firm Outlier Ventures thinks Facebook's coin will probably look more like
a casino having its own chip in the house.
Facebook is the casino, and users of its apps, like Instagram and WhatsApp, can pay each other or retailers using the company's currency. Mike Alfred at Digital Assets Data says those existing platforms give Facebook an edge over other cryptocurrencies, possibly even some foreign financial institutions.
Using the Facebook coin would actually be a more stable place for a lot of people around the world to store their own money and also to do transactions.
NYU professor David Yermak goes a step farther.
If you think about how many people are citizens of Facebook land, there's 2.5 billion people, and they could really become a serious rival to the Federal Reserve.
And if all those people adopt Facebook's coin, it could reward the company with a whole lot of the currency Facebook values most, user data. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
It has been a long, bumpy ride for British Prime Minister Theresa May as she's tried for the past 3 years to shepherd her country through Brexit. Politically battered, she is expected to step down later this year. That could affect the largest public transit infrastructure project in all of Europe, the plan to build HS2, a high-speed rail line linking London with the north of England. It could be cancelled. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
HS2!
They've protested politely for almost a decade, and now, say opponents of HS2, victory is finally in sight.
Oddly enough, when they're just about to start building it, we have more chance of stopping it than we ever have.
Protester Joe Rukin says Prime Minister May's possible departure could well spell the end of the line for this project.
It seems to be a prerequisite for anyone who wants to succeed her as the next leader of the Conservative Party that they will cancel HS2.
Fiercest opposition to the line comes from the Conservative electoral districts in the tranquil southern countryside that HS2 will cut through. Recordings of high-speed trains in France have fanned local fears of noise pollution. But Joe Rukin says an even bigger concern now is the ever-escalating cost projections, from $50 to $80 to $135 billion.
You can understand why politicians are thinking, you know what, getting rid of this might be a vote winner.
But not, it seems, in the north of England, where there's been a more receptive audience for the HS2 company's promotional campaign.
High Speed 2 will be an engine for growth for the 21st century.
The company says the line will bring the country closer together and boost the underperforming economy of the north. That's only fair, says spokesman for Northern Business, Henry Morrison.
Why should northern businesses and business people have access to this world-class infrastructure?
If the government cancels the line, he says, it'll suffer dire electoral consequences.
Because the Conservative Party, although having a significant strength in the south of England, has demonstrated over previous years electorally that unless it can succeed in the north of England, it's very unlikely to form a majority government.
He believes that regardless of a change in the Conservative Party leadership, HS2 is now unstoppable. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.